At a high school in Pueblo, Colorado, a U.S. Forest Service administrator named Jim Pitts talked to a crowd about the massive fires blazing nearby. Reporter Sarah Matusik was there to listen. One of the things Mr. Pitts said jumped out to her. Right now, he said, our focus is, how do we support our communities? How do we support our neighbors? It turns out that the people of Colorado and Utah and Idaho and all the other places where wildfires are burning right now have a lot of answers to this. So do the residents of Venezuela. And as we wrote yesterday, so do those who live in Lampedusa. The things people are doing across the world to help each other, to rise above challenges, and to imagine new solutions, that's news. And it's what Monitor reporters work to bring you every day. It's Wednesday, July 8th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Stephanie Haynes. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Nigel Farage, leader of Britain's Reform UK party, resigned from Parliament. It triggered a by-election in Mr. Farage's constituency of Clacton, in which he said he would stand. His announcement comes amid increased scrutiny over millions of pounds in financial donations he received but did not declare, a potential violation of parliamentary rules. The by-election offers Mr. Farage an opportunity for a de facto vote of confidence, a low-risk gambit because Mr. Farage is personally popular in Clacton. Other party leaders have called the by-election a gimmick and a stunt to distract from his financial troubles. In Colombia, the post-election transition of power faces roadblocks. Abelardo de la Espriella, a conservative lawyer with no governing experience, narrowly won a June 21st runoff to become Colombia's next president. On July 7th, he said he would suspend the presidential transition process in which the outgoing leader provides the incoming president with vital information to prepare them to hit the ground running once they're inaugurated. He accused outgoing President Gustavo Petro of planning a coup, though he provided no evidence. Mr. Petro has refused to recognize Mr. de la Espriella's victory over Ivan Cepeda, a leftist senator. He alleged fraud, also without evidence. Also, a court deemed Florida's Stop Woke Act unconstitutional. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit ruled Tuesday that Florida's Individual Freedom Act, dubbed the Stop Woke Act by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, violates the First Amendment. Proponents described the 2022 law as taking on classroom teachings about critical race theory, including the claim that race, color, national origin, or sex determines whether a person is privileged or oppressed. Judge Britt C. Grant said Tuesday that forcing an official government line in a college classroom of all places is exactly the pall of orthodoxy that the First Amendment will not tolerate. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Polls show younger voters are less fearful of socialism and more likely to question the benefits of capitalism as it relates to their lives. So while anti-communist rhetoric is red meat for the Republican base, it might not persuade many other voters. Simon Montlick reports for The Monitor. Marine Le Pen's political future continues to hinge on the French judicial process after she announced she would again appeal her embezzlement conviction. But she has said that she will run in the 2027 French presidential race, whatever the final decision. Colette Davis reports from Paris for The Monitor. A new Little House on the Prairie series launches on Netflix this week with a broader diversity of characters. The revamp of the enduring story illustrates the complexity of updating a classic story for modern viewers. Kendra Nordine Beato and Emily Staunton report for The Monitor. The U.S. World Cup team gave Americans a sense of shared possibility. But after a red card controversy and Monday's defeat to Belgium, its star has dimmed. Mark Sappenfield reports from Rome for The Monitor. A large wildfire in southern Colorado has forced thousands of residents from their homes. Government officials, local volunteers, and others are offering support to people and their livestock. Sarah Matusik reports from Pueblo, Colorado, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on rebuilding the bedrock for NATO security. This week, many eyes, at least when not glued to the World Cup soccer matches on screen, are on Ankara, Turkey. There, the heads of NATO's 32 member countries are gathered for the Transatlantic Alliance's annual summit amid a rather fractious atmosphere. Some 1,400 miles away, in Geneva, thousands of representatives from the United Nations' 190-plus members are attending the first all-nations global dialogue on AI governance. The mood there, in the search for shared approaches to safeguard against potentially negative impacts from artificial intelligence, is rather more collegial. And this same week, out of the limelight, it has emerged that quiet coordination among 59 countries has produced yet another successful crackdown on global human trafficking. The BBC reported Monday that 1,024 people were arrested and at least 2,070 individuals were aided through an operation led by Interpol, the International Law Enforcement Network. The results demonstrate what can be achieved when countries work together and strengthen cooperation across regions, according to Valdesi Urquiza, the Secretary General of Interpol. The June 8th through 12th sweep involved law enforcement across five continents and likely required months of data sharing and communication across national and language boundaries. Similar and sustained efforts by other multilateral bodies, those governing civil aviation, maritime movements, telecommunications, and safe agricultural trade, are what keep the global economy and international relationships humming along smoothly and in relative peace. Their success in doing so reflects the embedded tenets of trust, reliability, and reciprocation built in and strengthened over decades, or in the case of Interpol, more than a century. At present, these values seem in short supply within NATO. The United States and Europe are at odds over the imbalance in financial and human resources allocated to shared defense. European leaders have increased spending and are expanding their militaries, but they are rattled by U.S. President Donald Trump's moves to withdraw American forces and armaments from the continent, especially as Russia continues to wage war on neighboring Ukraine. Even as rhetoric at the NATO summit and news conferences might get heated, most analysts do not expect these differences to lead to an immediate divorce. But weathering the tensions and refashioning the alliance for the future will require more than billion-dollar deals and verbal diplomacy. Effective multilateral cooperation, according to Frédéric Ramel, a professor at Paris's Sciences Po, requires both trustworthiness and trust responsiveness. The one demonstrates reliability and commitment, the other aligns actions with expectations and promises. NATO's members must have trust-based commitments beyond strategic interests to function well, Professor Ramel wrote for the Global Governance Forum last year. Not just understanding, but conviviality among leaders and delegations is important, he said. And so is a mindset that prioritizes trust, inclusiveness, and shared responsibility. More and better weapons systems and battlefield readiness are important. But attaining and maintaining security also rests on a more reliable bedrock, that of common values and respectful communication. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we become more aware of God's ever-active law, we experience more of the harmony and integrity that it establishes. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Madera Udayakung, Tim Malone, and Alyssa Britton.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.